Well, over the last 4 weeks or so, we've been doing this series on having a great await. God has got great things. As I was saying earlier, He's got great things in store for each and every single one of us in 2008. And we had studied the book of Ruth over the last month. Ruth was of the attitude of a new start. She was of the attitude of new beginnings. And last week we studied how Ruth demonstrated that she was of the attitude of the spirit of a new start. In Ruth 3 verses 5 and 6, we find that Ruth was servant-hearted. She was submitted to the authority of her mother-in-law, Naomi. She said, "Naomi, whatever you tell me to do, that I will do." And whatever Naomi told her to do, that she did. And friends, we have got in the same way to be submitted to the authority of God in 2008 and beyond. God wants to do great things with your life. But you've got to be surrendered to Him. You've got to be submitted to His authority over your life. He wants to be in the driver's seat of our lives. He wants to be in full control. How do we show God that we're submitted to Him? By trusting Him. How do we trust God more easily? By knowing that God loves us. And then the other way that we show our submission to God is by obedience. Like Ruth, whatever you say to do, God, that will I do. Let's say it tonight. God, whatever you tell me to do in 2008, that I will do. God, I am submitted to your authority. I'm surrendered to you. Give me the strength every day to submit to you. And the word of God says in Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, if you're willing to hear the voice of God and obedient, you act upon what the voice of God says, you will eat the best of the land. Your land this year might be physical health. Your land might be financial provision. Your land may be peace in your emotions. God wants to give you the best of every one of these. If you're willing and obedient to His voice. Amen?
Amen.
All right, tonight I want to talk about another subject that I think is vitally important to practice at the beginning of this year. The beginning of this year, and it's the practice of releasing the debt. Releasing the debt. You know, this is a message on forgiveness. This year, forgiveness will either make or break 2008 for you. You know, I have resolutions that I set at the beginning of the year. And guess what one of my top resolutions is? One of my top resolutions is to walk in a spirit of forgiveness in 2008. And this is what I have there. To let offenses roll off of me like water off a duck's back. You know, when water gets on a duck's back, it kind of beads up, right? And then it kind of rolls on off. So we've got to have this practice, this virtue, settled in our hearts at the beginning of 08. If you walk in forgiveness, you will be blessed this year. If you walk in unforgiveness, you may not be blessed. Now friends, listen to this. We are part, all of us, are a part of a web of relationships, right? When you leave this place tonight, you're going to be in contact with somebody, right? When you get up in the morning, you're going to be in contact with somebody else. As you go about your daily activities, you'll be in contact with other people, right? No person is an island unto himself. We are part of a web of relationships. And as you go about life interacting with others, friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that people will do and say things that don't quite sit right with you. They may say something to offend you. They may do something that offends you. And the question is tonight, will you allow that seed of offense to take hold of the soil of your heart? The answer should be no. You know, if you allow the seed of offense to take a hold of the soil of your heart, and you think about it, and you meditate on it, eventually that seed becomes a bitter root. And that bitter root, if unchecked, can become a tree of hatred and animosity. And none of us here tonight want a tree of hatred growing up on the inside, right? We only want a tree of God's love on the inside. Say it with me tonight. I want the tree of God's love growing up on the inside of me this year. In Jesus' name. All right. Now let's talk about what forgiveness is. What does the word forgiveness mean, friends? The word forgiveness means releasing somebody of the debt that you feel they owe you. It may be money that you think they owe you. You may think that that person owes you an apology. Forgiveness is releasing the person of something you think that they owe you. About a year and a half ago, I'll give you a personal story. I went out of country with a group of friends. It was a group of us, three of us. And one of these friends said, "Hey, Jonathan," he said, "could you pay my in-country expenses? I'll pay you back within about a month." So we went out for about 4 days. We got back. Well, a month came, and he never paid his debt. 2 months went by, and he never paid his debt. 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, and this guy did not pay back his debt. I'm like, "Brother, what's going on? You know, I lent you this money. Could you kind of pay it back?" And, you know, I kind of started to sense that a seed of offense was being planted in my heart. And it was becoming like a root of bitterness. And it didn't feel good on the inside. So God spoke. And he said, "Jonathan," he said, "I want you to release that person of the debt that they owe you. Just tell them you're forgiven." So I communicated with him and I said, "Brother, I just wanted to let you know that the debt is forgiven. You don't owe me a penny." Well, he communicated with me a while back and said, "Man, thank you. Why did you do that?" Basically told him, "You know what? I just felt that I needed to forgive you of the debt." So that's what forgiveness is. It's releasing a debt that you feel that somebody has against you. Friends, forgiveness is a life or death situation. How many here have ever parachuted out of a plane? You got a parachute on your back. Well, when you parachute, it's a life or death situation, right? You jump out of that plane, you've got a parachute on your back, you've got the cord that you pull as you're falling real fast, right? If you don't pull that cord, you're going to hit the ground pretty hard, right? And you may die. You may lose your life. Parachuting is like a life or death situation. Friends, this subject of forgiveness, spiritually, is an eternal life and eternal death situation. You need to pull on your heartstring, just like the parachuter pulls on the cord and floats down to safety. You need to pull on your heartstring and say, "God, I forgive this person. I release them for the wrong that they've done to me." It's a spiritual life or death situation. Let's see what Jesus says about this. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18 gives a great parable here, and this is what he says. Verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" So I guess Peter, in his mind, he had already forgiven seven times this offender, right? And this offender was probably on offense number eight, right? So he says, "Jesus, how many times? Seven times?" Jesus said in verse 22, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven. What was Jesus saying? "I tell you, Peter, to forgive your offender an unlimited number of times. Walk in a spirit of forgiveness." Verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." 10,000 talents was like millions of dollars. "Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt." Verse 26. "The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, friends, listen to this. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's like a few dollars today. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Verse 29, his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servants. You wicked servant, he said, I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned them over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. This is the way God will treat us unless we forgive our offenders. Now in this parable, who does the king, the master, represent? It represents God, right? Who does the servant who was forgiven by the king represent? It represents you and me. You know, this servant decided to go out to somebody who owed him a few dollars and said, pay me back everything that you owe me. And threw him into prison, basically. Was really, really hard on him. So guess what? The master, the king, decided to do what? Decided not to forgive this servant of the millions of dollars that were owed to him. Friends, let's put it this way tonight. If we don't forgive the few dollars worth of sin others have committed against us, the small sins, God will not forgive the mountains of sin that we have committed against Him. Say that again. If we do not forgive the offenses of others against us, God will not forgive the mountain of sin and offenses that we've committed against Him. This is a spiritual life or death situation. Let me phrase it this way. If we do not walk in forgiveness towards others, God will not walk in forgiveness toward us. Friends, it's dangerous. What is our eternal salvation based upon? God's forgiveness of our sins through the work of Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago and faith in Him, right? So we need to forgive. Because if we don't, we're playing with fire eternally. And if you play with fire, you might get what?
Burned.
You might get burned. You might get burned. Who are we to be imitators of? Jesus Christ and God. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, be ye therefore imitators of God. What is God? God is a forgiver. He walks in forgiveness 24/7, right? He's walked in forgiveness from eternity past into eternity future. He always forgives. And if we're to be imitators of Him, that means that we are to walk in forgiveness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? Say it tonight. I'll walk in forgiveness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because it's a spiritual life or death situation. You know, you've got to determine it on the inside that offenses will come to me today. When you wake up in the morning, just determine it on the inside. Offenses will come to me today. People will hurt me today. But I resolve in advance to forgive them, to walk in a spirit of forgiveness, to release them of the debt. You know, unforgiveness causes your spiritual immune system to become weak. We all have a physical immune system, right? Fights off germs and bacteria and viruses. How do we keep our physical immune system strong? By getting plenty of rest, by eating right, a good diet, by exercising, so that when a virus tries to attack your body, it can't win. Well, we also have a spiritual immune system. And if you're not forgiving your offender, you're weakening that spiritual immune system. Let me put it to you this way. Here's a picture. I don't know if anybody here knows what muriatic acid is. Muriatic acid is a poison. It cleans deep stains out of concrete. And I've been told that if you get some muriatic acid on your skin, it'll burn a hole through you. It'll burn you bad. Friends, unforgiveness is like this. It's like drinking muriatic acid and expecting your offender to die. Unforgiveness is like drinking muriatic acid and expecting the one who offended you to die and to be negatively affected. It ain't gonna happen. That person that offended you may be on his merry way. He may be happy-go-lucky. He may think he did nothing wrong. And you're just seething on the inside, burning up on the inside with unforgiveness and bitterness. So what do we need to do? We need to start drinking of forgiveness and releasing the offender of the debt. You know, forgiveness strengthens your spiritual defenses. The enemy cannot penetrate someone who is walking in forgiveness. Somebody who is walking in God's love, the enemy can't get into your life if you're walking in a spirit of forgiveness. Amen? Amen. You agree with that tonight? All right. You know, unforgiveness, friends, can cause others to get hurt. Not only do you burn up on the inside when you're unforgiving, but others around you can get hurt as well. Listen to this story. It's a powerful story, and it illustrates this point. It's called The High Cost of Bitterness. July 8th, 2003, workers at an aircraft parts manufacturing plant ran screaming for cover as Doug Williams opened fire with his 12-gauge shotgun. Williams had attended part of the annual sensitivity and ethics training session that morning. Before walking out, he reportedly told co-workers, "Y'all can handle this." He returned a few minutes later and opened fire, killing two. He then proceeded to the plant floor where he killed three more people before killing himself. Williams had worked at the Meridian, Mississippi plant for 19 years. Co-workers described him as an angry man who kept score of the co-workers and managers he believed had slighted him. Mr. Williams was mad at the world. This man had an issue with everybody, co-worker Hubert Threat told the Associated Press. The shooting shocked the surrounding community. Almost everyone knows someone who works in the building or has a relative who works in the building. Lauderdale County Board of Supervisors President Craig Hitt told an AP reporter. Let's look at what the Word of God says about this. In Hebrews 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, verse 15. God's Word is very clear on this subject, friends. This is what it says. The story I just read comes from an issue of Character First on forgiveness. Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. The man that I just read about caused what? Caused a bitter root to grow up on the inside of him, right? And he defiled many, right? Many, many people lost their lives as a result. So friends, if you're walking in unforgiveness, it doesn't only affect you, it affects other people that you're in relationship with. Does that make sense? The opposite is also true. If you're walking in forgiveness, it also blesses the people in your life, other people surrounding you. Make sense? All right, so let's walk in a spirit of forgiveness. Now, how do we go about practicing this virtue called forgiveness? Three ways. Three ways to release. Number one, you release the debt that your offender owes you. Say somebody borrows $100 from you. Right? Like, man, they owe me $100. Payday, I'll pay you in a week, friend. Scott, I'll pay you in a week. I'll get you the $100 back. A week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. You never get the $100 back. What are you going to do in that case? Are you going to get angry and bitter on the inside? No, right? You've got to decide on the inside to forgive that person, to release them of the debt, and just let it go in Jesus' name, right? Because you know what? You're sowing a seed into that person's life. And when you sow that seed, God will bless you back. So the first way to practice forgiveness is to release the debt that is owed to you. Number two, how do you practice forgiveness? Release the person. I'm talking about small offenses here. If somebody offended you in a small way, release that person from having to understand exactly how they offended you. It's called damage control. Think of this. Say you're trying to lose weight, right? And you're exercising, you're running, and you're jogging, and you're cutting the carbs down, and you think that you're losing weight, right? You think you're looking better. And then this long-lost friend walks across your path and says, Sally, you look like you've gained some weight. And you get offended at Sally's remark. Well, Sally wasn't trying to offend you. She was just trying to play around with you. She was jesting with you. She was joking with you. That's a small offense, friends. Are you going to hold on to it, or will you let it go? You don't have to expect that person to understand how they offended you because they were trying to be funny. That was it. They weren't trying to offend you. You've got to silently forgive those offenses and not even bring it up. Make sense? And the third way to practice forgiveness is this. Release yourself from having to get personal retaliation. Release yourself from personal retaliation. Now think of this story. Say you go to work one day, right? And a coworker lies about you. He says, you know what, Mr. Boss? I noticed that so-and-so was on the phone during working hours today. And you happen to be on the phone during lunch hours. So your boss calls you in. He scolds you about it. You get upset. I can't believe he lied about me. And the natural human reaction is to do what? Is to want to do what? Is to want to get personal retaliation on the offender. He lied about me. I'm going to get it back. Get him back. But that's not the way to go about it, friends. Release yourself from personal vengeance. What does God say in His Word? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says God. Leave it in the hands of God. God will take care of the situation of the person who has offended you, who has hurt you, who has wounded you on the inside. Leave it in the hands of God. Don't take it into your own hands. You're walking on dangerous ground. Now, just one last point on this. One last point. Some of you here tonight may be dealing with someone who is abusing you. Maybe it's physical abuse. Maybe they're physically beating you up repeatedly. Maybe somebody out there is verbally abusing you. They're slapping you around with their words, left and right. Maybe they're emotionally abusing you. What do you do in this situation? You forgive the person, right? You release yourself from getting personal vengeance on them, right? You release yourself from getting personal retaliation on that offender. But, this is an important but, you don't release that person from moral responsibility. What does that mean? If somebody is continually beating up on you, friend, if they're continually verbally abusing you, emotionally abusing you, you don't release them from moral responsibility. You've got to separate yourself from them. You've got to separate yourself from them. And then you've got to report it to an authority. Maybe somebody here at the Salvation Army, a staff member. Maybe you report it to law enforcement. Does that make sense? So we're talking about major offenses, major abuse. If that applies to you, don't try to get back at the person yourself. But you can't release them from moral responsibility. You've got to tell somebody about it. You've got to separate yourself from them. Does that make sense? All right, remember that. And finally, how do you deal with somebody who's offended you? Talk to God first, friends. Talk to God and say, God, this person has offended me. They've deeply wounded me. Talk to God and God will talk to that person. He'll soften that person's heart, believe it or not. You know? Then try talking to the person. Maybe the person who said, like, you look like you've gained weight. Like, man, you offended me when you said that. And they're like, what, offended you? I didn't mean to offend you. The person may not understand, friends. The person may not understand. Don't base your forgiveness on their response. Don't base your forgiveness on the person's response. Base your forgiveness on your own personal choice. Choose to forgive. And give that person a gentle answer. Gentle answer turns away wrath. One final thought. If you starve feelings of bitterness by not meditating on the offense, in the long run, what are you doing? You're feeding your love walk. If you starve feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness by not meditating on the offense, what you're doing is you're feeding your love walk. When you think about the offense over and over and over and over and meditate on it, you're feeding that root of bitterness. In order to starve that bitterness, what do? Stop thinking about it. Stop talking about it to others and to yourself. And as you stop thinking about it, as you stop talking about it, you are increasing, you are feeding your love walk with others and your love walk with God. Paul the Apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 13 that love holds no record of wrongs. God's love. So if God's love is growing on the inside of you, you're not going to hold offenses against somebody else. Amen? Does that make sense tonight? So let's determine to walk in the spirit of forgiveness 24 hours a day. Yes, when you wake up tomorrow, somebody may do or say something that doesn't sit right with you, that offends you. Choose to forgive them in advance in Jesus' name. All right? You going to try to do that this year? You know, write your resolutions down. Write down your New Year's resolutions. Make that one of your top resolutions. I decide this year, I resolve this year to walk in a spirit of forgiveness and release my offender of the debt that he owes me. And guys, I want you to remember this. Because some of you are experiencing this. Abuse. If somebody is abusing you, you may say that you're forgiving them. They're abusing you over and over and over. You got to separate yourself. You can't free them from moral responsibility. You separate yourself and then report it to the authorities. Don't take personal vengeance. Leave it in God's hands. Amen? Amen. All right.